going to be able to play the puck and maybe make a hit there. So I went out and tried to play the puck, and I tried to make the hit as well. And then I guess it turns out his plan was also to hit me. And so we kind of just stood each other up for a little bit, and I was a little surprised that he laid his shoulder into me, so I gave him a little whack and a little push to the face, let him know that I wasn't gonna take any of that.
Very good. Was there a point as you were coming out to try to get to that puck first that you were a little bit thinking to yourself, "Well, this might not work out as well as I had hoped"?
Well, no, I realized I was going to be able to beat him there, and so I was able to make the play up the wall first. But then I realized that he was still coming at me, so I wasn't gonna let him run me over. So I just put my shoulder into him. He did the same thing to me, and then that's what I was more surprised that he tried to, run me over than anything else.
Well, we appreciate the first-hand explanation because we didn't know exactly what was called or how it was called or why it was called on that play. And, Jamie, we'll let you go, but congratulations on the big win on Monday and good luck this weekend.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, that's Jamie Phillips with Coach Mel Pearson right there. So we go into the second period, Coach, and there's no scoring at all. We outshoot them 12-9. What were your thoughts on the second period?
Well, I thought we had a strong period again, Dirk. I thought the shots maybe evened out a little bit, but I still thought we dominated and had a big advantage in zone play and puck possession and whatnot. I liked our team, but having said that, right at the start of the second period, Blake Kietl had a golden opportunity on the power play. A real nice play by Blake Kietl and Reed Sturros, and Blake Kietl had a wide open shot right from the slot. If you watch the replay of it, even their goalie, Racine, is in nowhere in position to make the save, and Blake just blows it wide. And I thought that was one of the critical points in the game where we had a golden opportunity to take the lead and then apply some pressure on them, but we just couldn't do that.
And it seemed like, even though we had so many shots in that game, that we did have a lot of our great opportunities went wide of the net that didn't even register on the shot chart.
Well, that's it. They did. If you looked at the attempted shots, it was amazing. I think they only had 7 attempted shots in the first period. Michigan did too. Oh, boy, I want to say we had 35, which I think tells it all. And the second period was not quite as lopsided, but again, we were well ahead. I think we registered almost 100 attempted shots in the game, which is good. Most nights you're only going to maybe attempt in that 60 range, but we had 100 attempted shots in the game to maybe their 50, somewhere in there. So, like I said, we did a lot of good things in the game. We just offensively, we didn't get any puck luck. And then again, we didn't hang around the net or really battle, to get some second opportunities.
We go to the third period. We're still tied 1-1. The frustration, I would imagine, is trying to creep into the Huskies, playing so well and not getting the lead yet. We get a penalty in the third period. Mark Ott goes off for a hooking call at the 2:22 mark. This gives Michigan a power play, which I thought we killed very well, but just one of those goals that, not sure if it hit somebody or not, but Zach Hyman gets his 11th of the season from Andrew Kopp and Michael Downing. This was a power play goal to give Michigan the 2-1 lead.
Play still inside the Michigan tech end. Power play for the Wolverines. Mike Neville doing a great job. The muscle that went out to center ice. Great second and third effort there by number 25. And coming back now, Andrew Kopp drops it for Hyman. Hyman with a shot, scores! Jamie Phillips will want that one back. Hyman with the shot, snapshot from the right top circle, and the Wolverines have their second lead of the game and a power play goal.
Coach, at that point, it's very early on in the third period. What were you saying to your guys being down by a goal?
Well, there's a lot of time left in the game, Dirk, and obviously we've been behind before in the third period. And I think one of the keys was just staying with sticking to the game plan, not trying to get away from it, but just keep on doing the things that we were doing. And as far as getting the puck deep, working the defensemen, creating some good scoring opportunities, and you're right, we did do a good job on that penalty kill. But that was one of the few grade A chances they had. Blue Nieves split our defenseman, and Mark had to come over and hooked him a little bit and took the penalty. But we did a great job on the PK. In fact, their goal was on a rush, just a broken play. We were making the change, and Hyman came in over and that took a long shot. Normally, Jamie's going to stop that puck. I mean, he was outside the top of the circles and, you know, took an innocent-looking shot, but a good shot, a well-placed shot, and it found its way to the net. But, you know, we had a lot of time left. I thought our team was good, a lot of confidence on the bench. There's a stretch here for about 5 or 6 minutes, so not much was happening in the game. I mean, I think they were just trying to pack it in a little bit, and we were trying to do a little bit too much at times individually. But we had our chances, though, Dirk, and that's the key. We had our good looks in the third period, even after we got behind.
Yeah, and in that flurry at the end when we had Phillips pulled on the play, I mean, was just unbelievable that we weren't able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, we, like I said, we had some great chances, and even in the last 10 seconds, Malcolm Gould gets a pass wide open to the side of the net, and all the pressure was on the one side, and you know, Alex Patan made a great read through a seam pass to Malcolm Gould down by the side of the net, and Malcolm, I guess if he had to pick one guy he could pick to shoot, it might be him in that situation, and he whiffs on the shot. He just didn't get it all, and normally Malcolm would put that thing in. He'd do it 9 out of 10 times in practice, but that was sort of the story of our game. We just could not finish, and we just weren't sharp around the net. And it's too bad, too, because we had a great crowd there. We had a great Michigan Tech crowd, one of the best crowds I've seen in the GLI in many, many years. And as you know, I've been to 37 of them, and that's one of the best Tech teams. So a little different, not only for our team, but for our fans and obviously all the people who attended the tournament this weekend.
We talked to Malcolm Gould before the game on Monday and asked him about that last opportunity. And, he says, had he known that he might have had more time, he would have probably tried to stop it. But he had scored on a similar play earlier in the game and one-timed that one. So I don't blame him for trying to do it again.
Oh, no. And like I said, you give him, you set up 10 pucks and then you feed him 10 pucks in that situation. 9 out of 10, he's going to get it on the net or at least get some wood on it. And in this one, just caught off the heel and, went wide. But like I said, we did a lot of good things. And you'll have Malcolm and Tanner and Joel Lesperance are all going to come on the show here with you at 9:30. So I'd tell our listeners, if you have any questions for any one of the three of those guys, to get them lined up. And they all had good weekends, those three players. You know, Joel came in the second game and played, and I thought had an outstanding game. But it's hockey, Dirk. And next night we didn't get as many shots. We got outshot, but the opportunities we got were really good ones, and we finished. That was the difference. That's the difference in games.
No question. Let's go right to that game, Coach, because I know time is of the essence right now. The final, by the way, on Sunday afternoon, Michigan by a score of 2-1 over Michigan Tech. Huskies out shooting the Wolverines 41-21. Huskies had 17, 12, and 12. Those were the shots in the first, second, and third periods for Michigan Tech. Let's go to the third-place game against the Ferris State Bulldogs, a team that we had already beaten twice in their building earlier in the season, and little C.J. Ike gets things going for Michigan Tech at the 11-12 mark to make it 1-0.
Lesperance with a power move to the net. Takes a second shot and just missed it wide. Lesperance nearly did it by himself. Goes back in there again trying to get control of the puck. Down in the corner, near behind the net, centering pass to the point. Here's Ock with a shot. Blocked in front again, diving on the play and making the defensive effort was Van Warmer. Here's the chance for the Huskies. Scores! What a goal! C.J. Ike! Puts it home with 8:48 left to go in the first period. 1-0 Michigan Tech.
Coach Joe Lesperance, you can hear how much he dominated that play in the first half of that sequence.
No question, and that's one of the reasons that we installed him in the lineup. We made 4 lineup changes, and one of the reasons being is to get fresh legs in there and give some other guys a chance to play. Because of the big layoff, the back-to-back games, we're not in great game shape right now, and I thought Joel came in and did a nice job, and we talked a lot about Ferris, the way they play defensively. They swarm you down low, and a big body like Joel can create some room and space, and he did a real nice job on that goal. And I'm good to see CJ score. We need some of those guys like CJ Ike and Dylan Stamen and Joel Lesperance to help us out on the score sheet. And that was a huge goal, and we got the lead, and unlike the first game, you know, we played with the lead the whole second game. I thought that was a key situation against a team like Ferris.
Joel Esperance and Dylan Stamen get the assists on that goal by C.J. Eink, his second of the season. Huskies up 1-0 after the first period, but they get outshot 14-6 by Ferris State University. We go to the second period, a big early second period goal by Malcolm Gould.
Carroll wins the draw, brings it up to center ice, and here's a chance for the Huskies. Gould coming in with a guy in front, pass to the front seat.